Thank you. So the title of my presentation again is Implementing a Content Validation Tool to Ensure Message Quality Assurance and Appropriate Classification Using the Berkeley Notification to CDC. This is a proof of concept. And so the presentation is going to take you through really the programmatic perspective of this project. So these are the points that I intend to cover in my presentation today. I first want to begin by illustrating this slide, which kind of gives context to this presentation. The top layer is a representation of the data sources that feed information to public health, whether it's electronic laboratory report or case reporting from laboratories, hospitals, and physicians to local and state public health. In the middle are surveillance systems that collect information and send case notifications to CDC, and as it's highlighted here in the box. This is where the proof of concept really takes place. It's the ability to implement a tool within this environment. So I first want to begin by providing you with a project overview. Late last fall, we engaged the tuberculosis program, we, the NEDS team, to engage them to participate in this proof of concept to establish a content validation tool developed by our colleagues at OnToReason to validate incoming case notifications to provide effective and efficient exchange of TB notifications to CDC. There are several points of consideration why we engaged the program. The first is that in August of 2007, about the same time this year, we published the first case notification guide for TB. And this was recognized as a national standard. It's a version, HL7 version 2.5. As we made this available, several states were interested in being able to send a case notification to CDC. And so we thought with that and with the heterogeneity of surveillance systems and to be able to implement the types of business rules that are required to send a TB case notification may provide some room for errors, and so we thought that we could provide this type of support to account for that. And the third point of consideration is we want to consider what other ways can we help improve automated analysis of this information coming in to CDC. As you see here, representation of the highlighted box is case notifications arriving here at the DMB, which stands for Data Message and Brokering, and the CDC data store. That information is processed and provided to the programs, and that information is analyzed and tested for integrity. I think one of the things as information is being provided, what the current checks are only checking for structural integrity and not so much content. This was another opportunity to provide feedback to our health jurisdictions reporting this information. And so when we think about this, and we think about the public health impact of this, this was an opportunity to help automate the content validation of case notifications coming into CDC, in addition to replace TIMS. TIMS in 2009 will no longer be supported by CDC. And so as states have to think about other means for sending this type of information using their state-based electronic Z surveillance system, or adopting other systems that can provide this functionality. And then second is to help improve the turnaround of feedback to state and local health departments. One of the things that content validation tool allows to do is not only check for content, but also check for errors and alerts of multi-drug resistance TB. And in light of the recent news of that, this project seemed very timely. So the project plan, part of this was to gather technical and business requirements to look at during the engineering process of the validation tool, to look at the TIMS rules and to see what types of rules that we would implement in this validation tool. And then second, to look at identify the point of integration. We spaced this pilot into really two phases with implementation, first at the DMB, the data message and brokering piece, and then at the CDS, the CDC data store, where information is provided to the TB program via TB DataMart. And then third, we assess the implementation of the integration tool both at the DMV environment and then the quality of the information that's being fed into CDC and being persisted at the TB Data Mart. So a part of that re-engineering, or the engineering of the validation tool, was to examine the 300-plus TIMS rules. As you can see here, as we categorize the rules based on deleted CVR rules included and the vocabulary value sets included, and that's represented by blue. The ones that we found and that we did not include in the or incorporate in the validation tool were TIMS rules that were either outdated, did not apply, and some of them were duplicative. The CVR rules that we did apply, only 101 of those were, well, all of them were incorporated, but only 101 were used for testing. And the same with vocabulary, 56 were incorporated into the validation tool, but only 40 of those were used for testing. So here's an example of a TIMS rules. It checks for the dates. It looks at report date must be after or equal to the date of birth. As part of our implementation, we took this again in two phases. First, to implement this at the data message and brokering level. As a message is received by CDC, first it's checked for the structural integrity. If it passes, it's further filtered to identify a TB case message. And once that's, and then what happens there is that that information is fed into the CVR. Here's sort of the anatomy of the validation tool. To your left, I suppose it's the interface between the DMV and the validation tool is handled by a Java message script interface that handles both inbound and outbound messages. To your right, this is the representation of the validation tool that we implemented. This is driven by a public health ontology extraction of the TB message, and really it's a representation of the TBFIN implementation guide that makes it machine processable. As information is fed into this tool, the messages are broken up and as represented in the green, and then the application of that information is what's being applied to it are certain sets of rules that you see here as a message validation reasoner and alert reasoner. If any errors or alerts are detected, that information is brought up and sent back out to the queue to be picked up by the DMB. So this is a representation of what type of information is being sent back to DMB. This is an illustration of, a detailed illustration of the error report. It has the TB, the data element, the type of data element, and what the error is being presented. This is an XML presentation of that. And then finally, if there is an alert, this is a type of information that would be sent back out to the DMB for processing. So the second part of this implementation included completing the data stream from that information persisting in the DMB database now down to the CDC data store where the programs can access that information. Oh, I just want to make one more note too here. If there is an alert generated, what happens is that there is an email sent to the TB program. So for anything that includes multi-drug resistance or extremely drug resistant TB, that the TB program is notified instantly. So to evaluate this implementation and to test the impact of the tool in the DMB environment, we prepared several sets of messages. The first set is a set of 20 messages. 8 of those messages were called good, and these are messages with no expected errors and alerts. And then the other 12, we had certain errors that we expected and alerts that should have been prompted for a certain set of those, or 4 of those messages. And then we also prepared 3 additional sets that wanted to test the impact of this implementation in DMB by providing a high volume of messages and running them through. So the output of this is really, we expected pretty much that all the good messages would have 0 expected alerts, as we notice. And the 12 messages that we did run also produced the expected errors and for the message correctly identified drug resistance. The bottom set, the table here, represents information about testing the load of the implementation. The first row, we ran a set of 1,670 messages, and the processing time within the DMB was about 37 seconds, and then in the CVR about 7 minutes. All of this classified as low impact overall, and so it really provides some minimal effect in the processing. So to recapitulate all this, so all the validation rules correctly execute with errors being detected, identified, and reported, and the relationships between the content validation results and the CODIS notification were appropriately maintained. So when the TB program is able to access information, access the case notification information, and if the error was generated, it was presented there. This had minimal impact on the message broker, and the TB program was able to access the results of the content in the TB data mart. There were some notable limitations. I think I'm going to talk about one specifically, was that this tool is complicated in the sense that it would take someone with knowledge to help modify any of the rules that that are included in the integration, in the validation tool. So one of the things that we noticed was that the rule authoring is currently performed directly in Ontology, but also it does not include a user-friendly interface for program SMEs to make modifications to the rules. So this would make it very difficult and heavily relied on our contractors to make those types of adjustments. So with the conclusions, this project really represents the functionality intended for used by the CDC in its TB program and provides a baseline for functionality that will be made available potentially to states and local TB programs, but also we can expand this validation methodology to other CDC programs as we receive more case notifications for other national fallible conditions. And this has the ability to activate this tool in a production environment, although it was done in a test environment, to validate incoming TB case notifications, especially from a non-TIMS message source. And then finally, the effectiveness of the loading functions, to be able to alert the programs and the states in a timely manner, but also to generate alerts to show alerts for multi-drug resistant and extremely drug resistant TB. I want to end my presentation by coming back to this slide, because I think as we look at the information exchange here, there's an opportunity for us to extend this tool not only across the programs at CDC, but also at the state and local level, and then even potentially at the reporting source, either as a web service call or as a standalone application. Thank you.